you are a new Christian, to start studying and finding out about things within it. And I think it is. It has some problems and difficulties. You need to know a good bit about the Old Testament to be able to get those things in and understand all that you're saying there. But basically, the book is trying to say to people, don't give up. It was written many years after the beginning of the church, and some of those people who had come out of Judaism and come out of their idolatry and come out of the world had come into the church, and now those people were seeing it's a daily living thing. Can you remember the time when you were baptized and all the joy and all the faith that you had, and you, it was just a wonderful thing to get to come to worship services, and you just couldn't wait to get there? But then after about 4 or 5 years, how did it look to you? How'd you come today? Did you come today saying, oh man, it's going to be dull, I know it. I hope you didn't, but sometimes we do. I hope that's not the way you feel about it, but sometimes we do feel that way. But what we want to do is to understand how we can keep every day, every Lord's Day, and every day of the week, our faith stronger. That we can have our faith be so strong and so powerful that we will not give up, that we will not quit, that we'll not shrink back because of not having enough faith and trust in God. And we have to have a trust in God. Faith is a basic thing that we've got to, because you see, if we don't trust in God, we're not going to put ourselves out there. We're not going to step up and speak up and say the things that need to be said and do the things that need to be done and live the life that needs to be lived. So we've got to have a strong faith. And so we need to talk about it more often, and we need to help people to understand it. But the Hebrew writer is trying to tell people, you need to have more faith. Now, in the passage in Hebrews 6 here, he's trying to say to us and wants us to understand how important it is that we remain faithful. And he talks there to those people there. As he's talking to them, he's also talking to us. You see, they had a problem that we have. And basically, what the Bible is trying to deal with some difficulties so that we'll know about those things. It's always good to study about history. I don't think young people today understand that as much. And sometimes history can be kind of skewed a little bit because some people, they report what they think and not what really, really happened. Historians have to be honest people. So here we've got a book that's honest, a book that's delivering to us a very honest message and trying to help us to understand how to keep our faith stronger. And have a faith that will be willing to use ourselves, to stick ourselves out there sometime, and be willing to do God's will. And so here we need to find out what Hebrews is saying. And it's a wonderful book for us to study. It's a good book, and maybe sometimes we need to look at that. It's saying, look at the example of those others that have been faithful. And we can go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and see there where it talks about what faith is. And then it talks about those people that were faithful. And it mentions names of all these people and what they did and how faithful they were. And sometimes when we're reading that, we're thinking, wait a minute, they weren't as faithful as he's talking about. They had things wrong in their life. Let me tell you something. Realize there are no perfect people now. They were no perfect people then. Jesus Christ is the only one that was able to follow the law, able to do God's will in every part of it. They did not, and we will not. But he's talking about the end result. He's talking about how they lived their life and how they ended their life as faithful, as people who served God and did God's will. And that's what we got to do. And sometimes we look around and say, you know, I wish I had the faith of Paul. Well, sometimes his faith wasn't as strong as it needed to be, but he stayed there. We mentioned a few weeks ago that what we've got to do is to remain there and never give up. And that's what the Hebrew writer is saying. Don't quit. Don't stop. Stay in there. Hang in there. You be faithful no matter what comes down the pike. No matter what you've got to deal with, you be a person that's faithful to God. These people needed faith. We need faith today. They needed a strong faith. We need a strong faith today. We need a faith today that's going to help us to get through this world that we're living in, help us to endure the things in our life that is so hard, and certainly it's difficult to believe in God today. It's difficult to trust in God today because we look around and we see things that are not going like we like for them to be, and we wonder, where's God? You might be thinking about an election and well, it didn't go like we wanted it to. Okay, that's all right. God is still in heaven, isn't he? He's still in control. And maybe there's a lesson in this, and I'm persuaded that there is a lesson that we need to learn. And so what we need to do is not be discouraged, but to be encouraged. God thinks we've got faith enough to handle it. God thinks we've got courage enough to deal with it. And let me tell you something. I don't care who the president is. God is still powerful. God is still strong. God is still in control. And I got to be faithful to him. And I got to trust in him no matter what happens around me. That's what faith can do for us. Now, what I want us to do today is to look at some things that can hopefully help us, that faith, it might strengthen, that we need to understand how we can have our faith to become stronger. And I want us to look at some of the reasons people's faith becomes weak. Now, the first thing we're going to look at is persecution. If you live godly in this world, you are going to suffer persecution. Paul said that to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. If you live godly, if you try to serve God, you're going to face difficulties in your life. Now, that's just normal, and understand that. Sometimes we think that, well, I'm a Christian, the devil's going to let me alone. Let me tell you something. When you're in the world, the devil don't worry about you. He's got you already. But when you decide to serve God, that's when he's going to start putting roadblocks there. That's when he's going to try to cause you to stumble and to fall. That's when he's going to put people in your way that are pulling you away from God. So it's just, we got to understand that. Persecution's going to come. Now, look if you would, or listen if you would. Matthew 5, verse 10 said, blessed are those, one of these beatitude things, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Now, sometimes you can be persecuted because of your own ignorance. Sometimes you can be persecuted because of your lack of understanding the laws of the land and the laws of God. But he said, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you need to be happy about that. For theirs is the kingdom of God. If you suffer because it's right, then you need to be thrilled about that. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you need to be thrilled because you're standing up for what is right. Now, are you going to have to suffer because of that? Yes, probably. You're going to have to. It's not easy to speak up and to say what you believe about something. It's not easy to say things that are right and good, but you've got to do that. So here, he says you're going to face this persecution, but make sure it's for righteousness' sake and not for unrighteousness' sake, not because you just want to be a person that you want to do what's wrong. We've got to do what's right. And some people fall away. There are people who become unfaithful. There are people who turn away from Jesus Christ and they don't walk with him any longer. They had that in the New Testament. Brethren, we got it today. There are people that are not faithful. You know some of them. Maybe family members. And I don't say that with any kind of pride or greatness about it because it's a terrible thing. When your family is not faithful, it hurts us. Especially when a preacher gets up and talks about being faithful and we know that our children are not and we know what he's going to say that, you know, this is not something that needs to be and you're going to have to suffer because of it. But we've got to understand how important it is. Some people in New Testament times went away. Maybe because of their family and troubles in that. Maybe because of troubles in the world. Maybe because of trouble at work or whatever it was. They had difficulties they had to go through. Now, look at this if you would. In Matthew 13, Jesus talked there about some soils. He talked about four soils. I just want to look at one of them right today. In verse 30 and 31, listen to what he says here. But he who receives the seed on stony places, here there's rocks and there's a little dirt on top of it, and that seed goes on there, and that seed just springs up like all the rest. It looks just like the rest. It looks just as strong as the rest. But listen at this. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Did he really receive it? Yes. Did he receive it as something that he thought was going to change his life and make him feel better? Yes, he did. That's what he's looking for here. Yet, he has no root. He doesn't have that basis to hold him firm. He doesn't have that faith that is there that's going to help him to endure. That takes a digging in the ground. And for us, a digging in the Word of God. A digging in and saying, I'm going to be here. You know, some of you played sports, football, everything, and here's this guy that's coming at you, and you get ready. You put that foot back there, and you're going to stand, and you're going to endure that hit he's going to give you. You're going to do that. That's what he's talking about here. He's saying, this plant is not able to stand up. It's not able to endure those things. It's not able to endure and keep on going. But endures only for a while. He's able to stand firm for a little while, but because of the pressure, the problems, the difficulties, he is going to give in. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word. Here's a person who's trying to live the Word of God. They're trying to serve and do God's will. And it's not just because they're trying to be obstinate about stuff, but they're teaching the Word, and they're living the Word, and they're following the Word, and they're studying the Word, and people don't like that. And they're going to talk about it. Oh, they'll make fun of you. And some people are just bold enough to come up and just right in your face. They don't like it. And they'll tell you that. Here he's saying, this is what's happened. And here is what happens to these people. They're going to stumble. They're going to fall. They're not going to be able to endure. Why? Because their faith is not strong. Their faith is not what it needs to be. And here they're trying to follow the Word, but here's the problem there. There's a difficulty there, and they're not able to endure that. He said that's what's going to happen. Jesus was telling us what was going to happen. He didn't say, you know, oh, you become a Christian, and nobody's going to say a bad thing about you. Everything's excuse me, it's going to be your way. Sound like a TV preacher, you know. Oh, you send the money in and you'll never have another problem. You send the money in and I'll pray for you and you'll have more money and you'll have this and you'll have that. Well, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. A Christian that doesn't suffer is not a Christian. That's it. I mean, we got to understand that. We're going to have to deal with it. Things are going to get in their way. And you say, well, wait a minute, I've got heavy roots. My mom and daddy have been Christians. My granddaddy is a Christian. My great-granddaddy was a Christian. He was a preacher. That's their roots. How strong are your roots? How strong are the roots that you have that's holding you down? In a sense, I don't care how strong mother and daddy was. I don't care how strong granddaddy was. How strong are you? Where is your faith? Don't put your faith in other people, no matter how good they are. Not saying anything bad about anybody, but put your faith and your trust in your faith. And you build up your faith. It always astounds me that young people decide to go off to college somewhere, and they go to college. They don't go to church. My son was a campus minister, and he said these people come in, elders, preachers, kids, all this, they come in, but they don't come to church. They don't attend. They don't get up out of the bed on Sunday morning and go. When I was going to Fried Hardeman, we had some up there. They slept most of the days. Classes, yeah. Services, yeah. A Christian school. But they didn't remain. They didn't stay in there. They didn't continue there. Don't blame colleges on young people losing their faith. Because I'm going to tell you something. Most of them didn't have anything when they went there. Amen. That's a good one. I got to get on that one myself. They didn't have any faith. Help your children build their own faith. You do things that will help them to build their faith and not that it's just your faith. They come to church because you go in there and get them up. They come to church because you tell them that they're going to have to do that. They get their Bible class lesson because you sit there and say, you're going to do this. And it's not an easy thing to train them and teach them how to do that, but that's what we've got to do. They've got to have their own faith, or they're not going to be faithful. And when persecution or trouble or problems or anything comes in the way, they're going to give it up. They're going to stop. Now, what we've got to do is understand how important it is for them to remain faithful. How important it is. Now, Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 6. Here we're back at Hebrews again. Listen to what he said. This is how serious this thing is. For it is impossible. Anybody know what impossible means? I'm going to tell you. It's not possible. Boy, that was a hard one. I would have to sit down on that one. It's not possible. It's impossible. For those who were once enlightened, they have been taught the Word of God. They hear the Word of God. They have once been enlightened, and they have tasted of the heavenly gifts, and they have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and they have tasted of the good Word of God and the power of the age to come. They were those people that were there, and they saw Christianity. They felt Christianity. They knew what it was to be a Christian. They understood the joy of their salvation. They understood the joy of serving God. They understood all that. Listen to this. If they fall away, they've had all those things, but if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. What's he saying? He's saying there's some people that they were Christians, but they've turned away from it. He said, it's impossible. What does that mean? It's not possible to get them back. We don't like to hear that. We don't want to hear that. I'm going to tell you something. There's some people that they've seen Christianity. They've seen it in live action and color. And they've turned their back on it. Basically, he's saying, what else can you offer them? You know, in English, they used to tell me, there's nothing that's more better. You can't say, you can say it, but you'll get corrected on it. If it's better, it's not more better. Here, it's saying, what else can you offer? When you've offered them the best, you've offered them heaven. And that should be the church. The Word of God. Serving God. The Holy Spirit within them. Having all that to offer. What else can you offer them? There's nothing else. There's nothing else. So it's impossible to win them. Since they have crucified for themselves, they've taken the Son of God and they crucified the Son of God again, and they put Him to an open shame. What's the open shame that they put Him to? Well, they've turned away from His Word. They've turned away from what He's saying. They've turned away from everything that is so great and wonderful and happy. And there's nothing else you can give. What do you do when that happens? What do you do when that happens? Brethren, I'm going to tell you something. We may not like it, but there's no sense in continuing to try to teach a person that has rejected and turned away from the Word of God, and they've made up their mind and they've told you that. Mark them off and go on to some other place. Now, nobody's going to say amen to that one because we don't even want to believe that. But that's the truth. No person deserves the gospel preached to them twice if there's people in the world that's never heard it one time. We need to preach to people that want to hear. We need to teach people that want to hear the Word of God. We've got to understand, and we're reminded how that we need to be faithful even under persecution. But now look at this. Now this is the good side that we like to hear about. Hebrews 10, verses 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. There existence is going to be because of their faith in God, because of their trust in God. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, if anybody pulls back from that living in faith, if they pull back from that, my soul has no pleasure in them. This is not a good thing. It's not a happy thing. But look at this. But we are not like that. We're going to be faithful. Let me tell you something. I want to thank you today for your faith. I want to thank you today for your faith that hopefully encourages other people to be faithful. No matter what happens, no matter what you have to endure, you're going to be faithful to God. And that's what he's saying here. You're going to be faithful to God no matter what you've got to go through, no matter what you've got to endure. And we don't draw back to perdition. Now, how many of you used the word perdition this week? I don't think we use that word anymore. What he's saying is many of you are going to draw back. And what's the reward of drawing back? Hell, lost, condemned, unrighteousness. In other words that we can mention there. And that's what he's saying. Don't let that be a part of you. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Those who have a faith that's going to stay in there. Do we know all the answers to every question? No. Are we able to be able to know everything that the Bible has to teach? No. But we're going to be faithful no matter what. And we're not going to give up. Hey, shut the doors. We'll crawl in the window. We're going to follow God no matter what. We're not going to give up. And it's not going to be just, well, we're going to try this. No, we're going to do it. Make up your mind you're going to do it and then carry it out and do it. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about trying to seek whom he may devour. And he's looking for you. He wants you. That he might devour you, that he might trick you, that he might not have you to be that person that's saved. He said, resist him. You resist him, you go against him, and you, and not like the brethren of the world, you, but I like the brethren that are going to be faithful in the world. You be like those people. And see, the Hebrew writer's trying to say, I want you faithful. I want you to serve God. I don't want you to quit. Let me tell you something. That should be the prevailing idea for every preacher, for every elder, for every deacon, for every mama, every daddy, every child. That should be the thing that we should want more than anything else. And not let our faith become so weak. Not let our faith pull us back. But let our faith cause us to go forward, because we believe in God. We don't know what's in front of us. We don't know what we're going to have to do. We don't understand what's going to happen to us. But let me tell you something. We're going to be faithful to God no matter what comes our way. That's what we've got to have. And we've got to keep doing that. Now, look at this. Sometimes we become discouraged. Sometimes we become people that pull back because we're disciplined or we're corrected. Now, we live in a world that nobody is supposed to correct anybody. We've got it all worked out. You know, if you teach somebody something that what the Bible says, they said, you've got your faith and I've got mine. Like that's supposed to be an answer. No. We got to find out what the Bible has to say. We've got to follow it. When we show people what the Bible teaches, that's all you can do. That's what we've got to do. Nobody in our society likes correction. But let me tell you something. If you're going to be faithful to God, if you're going to serve God, listen to this, you're going to be corrected. Why do you think God calls us the children? What do you do with children? You correct them to try to help them to be the best person they can be. Now understand, correct them in a way that will be beneficial and help them to see the changes that they need in their life. The child of God must have that, and they're going to have that. Proverbs, I thought about this passage now. Proverbs 12, verse 1. And if you don't like the way I read it, you read it yourself. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. Now listen to the second part of this. But he who hates correction, simple, he's stupid. Read it. It's there. I read that and I thought, I got to look that up and make sure that's right. If you love correction, you're going to have knowledge, because that correcting you helps you to do what's right. But if you don't and you reject it, you're just stupid. Now that's just a word most people understand. And a lot of people say, don't use that word. Well, it's there in the book. And I got to use it. And I want to use it because that's what it's trying to say. The scriptures also help us to understand. And in a passage, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, for correcting, for instructing in what is righteous. That's what it's there for. It's there to teach us the right way to go and the right way to live our life. That's the purpose of it. You see, we read about these people in the Bible that face problems there. The same problems that you face and I face, we read about this from these people, and we read about how God told them to handle it. We read about how they did it, and sometimes they did it right, and sometimes they did it wrong. And hopefully, we've got the knowledge enough to know that what they're doing is right, and we follow that. Someone says, what do I need to do to become a Christian? Simple. I just say, read Acts 2. Do what those people did there. They heard it, they believed it, they obeyed it. That's all we got to do. It's that simple, brethren. It's that simple. We've got to be willing to do that. It instructs us. Well, wait a minute. I really don't like this baptism thing. I don't want to be baptized. Listen, argue with the guy that wrote it. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it to you. Now, if you've got an argument, you're going to have to argue with God. It's so simple there, you've got to be taught to misunderstand it. It's simple. Obey what God tells you to do. Why is it so hard to take correction? Well, I've already mentioned, our society doesn't believe in that. Our society, you can't even correct your child anymore. If you do, you're a terrible parent. We've got to sit down with a 2-year-old and discuss potty training. Well, there may be some teaching like that, but basically, we've got to show them how it's done. And it's not an easy thing, is it, Mother? But that's not the only hard thing in life. We've got to train and teach them in the right way. Some people quit their faith because somebody comes up and says, wait a minute, you're not living as you should. Paul tells us how to correct people. You correct them as though they are broken up inside, with a gentleness, with a kindness. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about a lady. She was an elder. She was an elder in the church. I guess she was. She was older, but her husband was an elder in the church, is what I was trying to say before my tongue got in the way. And he said, you know, that woman came up to me, I don't know how many times, and corrected me, but he said, I felt so much better when she did it. Said she'd come up and said Miss Betty, and say, listen, you know that's not right, and you shouldn't be doing that. Now you need to stop that. And he said she did it with such a spirit that she'd smile at me, and I'd think, you know, she's right. Now, that's what we need to do. But we need to do it, rather. We don't need to shrink in our faith by not saying that. But when we're told that, it should not cause me to say, ooh, You think I'm doing something that's wrong. You may be. It needs to be corrected. It's got to be corrected. It's got to be corrected in your life. So we've got to do that. Now, last thing, and then I'm going to finish this. I think I'm going to finish this. Whoop, I'm going to finish it fast. Linda says I don't get to finish this last point. You'll get it some other time, okay? Now, forget that point. In Acts 27, in verse 25, we usually say Hebrews 11 and verse 1 as the definition for what faith is. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's a good definition. But let me tell you something. Here in Acts 27, I think it's a better definition. Paul's on a ship. Paul's going to Crete. The ship's about to sink. Paul gets those people together and he said, listen, an angel told me last night that everything's going to be fine. We're going to lose a ship, but no lives are going to be lost. And those people are going, okay. And maybe he thinks, they don't think I believe that. But in verse 25, he said, therefore, take heart, all you men, take heart, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. That's what faith is. It's believing what you're told. It's believing what the book says. It's following that. It's not giving up. It's not quitting. Oh, listen, Christians have quit over the years. They're going to do it in the future. But let me tell you something, that doesn't mean I gotta like it. That doesn't mean that I want other people to do that. I want to do everything I can to help them to be as faithful as they can, as long as they can. And endure and not give up. How strong is your faith? How strong is your faith in God? How much do you trust God? Well, we say, oh, if somebody were to come in here and line us up on the wall with a machine gun and say, do you believe in Jesus Christ? We'd say, I'd say yes, even if they kill me. Well, let me tell you something. What about if you go to work Monday morning? Are you still strong in the faith there? We're looking at these big things. Look at the little things. Are we willing to speak to other people about what's right? Maybe say something to them, hopefully, that will correct their lives and make their lives better. And then when they say something to us about our lives, correcting our lives, we're willing to look at that. And we don't shrink back, and our faith is strong. How many people will be faithful next year? How many people will serve God next year? I don't know. There's some that are going to be lost. There's some that we're not going to be able to get back. There's some that are not going to come back. But let me tell you something. There are those still who want to do what's right, who want to serve God, who want to do the will of God. And that's what keeps us going. We keep trying to teach those people. We keep trying to help them to be more faithful. We keep trying to help them to serve God. That's what we got to have. Where's your faith? How strong is it? How is it enough to get you through a week? Can it get you through a day? Have you really made up your mind, I'm going to serve God? I do not care what happens. There is nobody that can keep me from doing the will of God. I'm going to do it. And that's what we got to do. We got to be just as hard-headed can be. And we're not going to quit, no matter what. We sing this song to encourage you and to me to look at our lives, to look at the faith that we have, and how strong is that faith with us? Are we willing to be those people that we're saying, listen, I'm going to be faithful. I don't care what happens. I'm going to serve God. I don't care what the world says. And I'll face that lion just as David did with his staff, and I'll defeat the lion and the bear. Because God's there with me. We can even defeat the giant. And we can overcome him because we're God's people and we're going to serve God. If you're not a Christian, I want to plead with you to become a Christian today. If you are, I want to plead with you to remain faithful. If you have not, then please repent of that. If you want us to pray with you and for you, then you come forward. If you want to sit in your seat and say, listen, I'm going to be faithful, and this is it. I'm going to do that. I'm not going to quit. There's nobody can stop me. That's great too. If you want us to pray for you, we'll do that. We want to help as many people to serve God as long as they can. That's what we're here for. And if we're here for anything else, we're here for the wrong reason. Please come right now as we stand and as we sing.